Lender, my boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell WrestleMania. It's far in the horizon now. It's been 2 weeks. It's over. It happened. Let's move on. Let's move on from the greatest, some would say, WrestleMania of all time. And now let's focus on Backlash. Backlash in France. No more WrestleMania Backlash. It's in France. It's just France. Is it? Are they specifying the place, or is it just Backlash France?
I think it's called Backlash France. Yeah, that's Backlash what the Wikipedia France. Has it as the tagline. Is nightmares do come true, which is quite a nice tagline.
I like that. That's cool. Yeah. Okay, let's get straight on. We've got two shows to recap and a whole lot to talk about. Starting off, I'm your host Andrew. With me once again is Mr. Ross Bell.
And about you? Right?
I'm good. You?
Yeah. You recovered from Tuesday?
Physically, yes. Emotionally, not for a long time. It's hands down the greatest night in my life of supporting football.
I also experienced that. It's really sad that getting promoted from League One is an incredible moment, but it actually is an incredible moment, isn't it?
It's at the point now where I really hope, on one hand, I hope that Leeds go up because we could see him back in the Premiership. But on the other hand, I really want to go to Elland Road. So I'm kind of hoping they don't go up.
So I've had two other bumpy mates say that to me this week as well.
Yeah, I want to get them back down here. I don't want Southampton in the Premiership because I can't wait to go to St Mary's next year. So, yeah, it's exciting that we can now look at potential away days and they include the big grounds. So that's good. Okay, we also have a voice with us this week. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Martin Brain.
Evening, gents.
How are you?
Yeah, good. I think very much like yourself, just about getting over Tuesday night as well. looking forward to grounds we can go visit next year and we can complete Sheffield.
Depressing thoughts.
Yeah, words you don't often say of excitement, but yeah, complete the Sheffield double. Also looking to do the whatever the Port Vale Stoke name is.
Potteries.
We can do the Potteries double, yeah, because that's Port Vale's been done, so we can do Stoke. There's a few. I was looking through the list of teams earlier thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to afford all this. This is going to be very expensive.
It's a very northern division, the Championship.
Yeah, we've got a few like London teams, which is good. We've got a few nearby-ish, but then it becomes very northern. I was reading the list thinking, I suddenly want a kebab and a pie. I don't know why. It felt like a very northern thing come over me. But anyway, we're not here to talk about football. That's another show that Russ does. We're here to talk about wrestling. Professional wrestling is cool again. It's back. It's hip. It's all of the things that people of our age shouldn't probably say anymore. Let's move straight into this week's topics. We're going to start with last week's SmackDown on the 12th of April from Detroit, Michigan. Opening the show, as seems to be the way now with the, as he seems to be now called, the Undisputed WWE Champion. The Universal is gone. That's it. He's now just WWE champion. It's Cody Rhodes talking about his segment with The Rock the week before, where Rock handed him something we don't know what it is yet. Probably won't know for another year until they start the Mania build. And then he said he's moving on to his first challenge at Backlash. And that was it, really.
Yeah, we've had 3 weeks of Cody now just coming out and chatting. And it's fine, but something does need to happen now. And obviously, they've got the number one contendership. And it's going to be AJ, isn't it?
It's got to be.
It needs to be AJ.
AJ kind of has that role of he's the good heel to step up.
He was Roman's first challenger when he won the title. So, I mean, he's a very, very safe pair of hands to stick into a first feud for someone. And it'll be a fantastic match. But yeah, that needs to kick into gear now because Cody said his goodbyes on. We'll get to Raw, but yeah. He's good, isn't he? He can talk. He's great to listen to. It's fine.
But it just feels like The Rock's gone now, so you can't talk about The Rock anymore.
No.
There's no challenger confirmed yet, so it's like, hey, I'm Cody. My dad was Dusty. I'm a champ now.
Yeah, whoa. The dad stuff needs to be finished now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of feels like that only worked with the whole story arc, and now that the story's finished, Dusty can now just, doesn't need to be brought up.
Yeah.
Martin, what do you think of Cody's first couple of weeks as champion?
Obviously, like you've sort of already highlighted, it's been quite a lot of talking and that and everything and that. The one thing I am slightly worried about is I read a report yesterday that some fans are starting to turn on him already. And they're all like, oh, we're bored, you coming out for like 3 weeks in a row and all this. And it was like, Jesus Christ, give the bloke a chance for crying out loud and everything. I'd be well down for AJ Cody feud. I think that'd be, well, outstanding in that.
The problem is, while you set up a new challenger, do you not have Cody on the shows? You've got to have Cody on the shows. So what do you do? You could have him do dark matches and you could get the ticket sales out of advertising again, but you surely got to have, after having a year of the champion not being on the shows, we've now got a champion on the show every week and people are now like, no, we don't like you anymore. This is a flop. It's like, Jesus, you can't follow a guy for 2 years and then once he wins the belt, give up after 2 weeks. This is why wrestling fans are stupid. This is why we don't like wrestling fans as a rule, because of this.
He's finished his story. He started a new story. Now he's the world champion. He's the man that defeated Roman Reigns. It's now time to sort of stamp his legacy as the champion.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I think the way to do it is with fantastic matches.
Well, yeah, Roman wasn't here to work the matches, and when he did work, his matches were great,
but
this is now Cody can work a show every month or every few weeks he can wrestle, you know, and put on those great matches. This is now a new champion, a new way a champion does things.
I think at times, sort of, you know, fans in general can get a bit too caught up with the nostalgia and everything, sort of overthinking that and everything, because I think it was mainly over like Mania weekend that a lot of people, especially after Sunday night, were like blasting Dustin Rhodes on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And that, mate, you got to come back to WWE and that. And he's like, no, I'm all right. I'm enjoying my time in AEW.
I'm main events like in Dynamite.
And also, it's not like he can just go, oh, I'm going back there. So you have contracts. Exactly.
You've got a contract.
Like, it doesn't work. Like, you should buy him out of his contract, Triple H. What? But why would? Where's the financial? Like, there's no way they're going to get that money back. Like Dustin Rhodes, bless him. Like first ballot Hall of Famer, absolutely. He's not going to make you money. Like he's not.
His time has come and gone.
But he's in the place he's in because, well, that was it. That's what he wanted at this point. Now you know. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll come back in a year's time when his contract's up. Yeah. I've no doubt about that. He will, but. To say you should buy him out of his contract at a cost, it's like, but what's the point? Like, that's not how TKO make money.
No, TKO are very sensible.
No, because plus as well, hasn't he got like his own wrestling school and that as well and everything else? And so, you know, whatever else he might do outside of wrestling.
I mean, obviously, I know Cody's got his Nightmare Factory and Seth's got his school as well. But it's just, it's not a sort of thing. I can't see Dustin wanting to shake to rock the boat too much at AEW just to come back for what would inevitably be he'd get beat down by The Rock because that was what the story would have been. You would have come back, got beat down by The Rock. Like that's all he would have done. So it just seems pointless. But he'll come back one day and he'll be in the Hall of Fame and then we can have the Rhodes tag team or something and it'd be fine. Okay, backstage, the Bloodline showed up and I like this, found out that they've lost their locker room because now Roman Reigns is no longer the champion. The Bloodline have lost the privileges. It's a really little touch that wouldn't have happened under Vince. I know we keep saying this, but that little thing, like the Bloodline now don't rule the show. Like they're just people on the show now. They don't get Heyman's their fancy
face
locker
was
room.
Superb.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Cody's the champ, give him the locker room.
Yeah. If Roman loses the belt, the Bloodline aren't the threat anymore, so they don't have any of that power. There's no that fear's not there now because you know Roman lost. Okay, triple threat match up next to determine one half of the number one contenders match for the Undisputed WWE Championship was LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, and Santos Escobar. We knew he was going to win this, let's be honest.
It should have been Bobby.
I would love to have seen Bobby, but I think as soon as we saw that the two triple threat pairings, it stood out to me what the final was going to be and therefore who the win is probably going to be. You just don't see Lashley. First off, that most of the baby faces, like there was only two heels, I think, in the entire six-man bracket, I think. So it was like, three heels. But either way, it's like you knew who was going to win, who wasn't going to win. Like Lashley's not facing Cody. Santos is not facing Cody in Cody's
first. No, but that is something I would like to see. He's grown incredibly over the past sort of year, 18 months. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's even got sort of considered in the one contender picture is fantastic to see.
I keep hoping that one of these guys they bring up like Latino to try and replace the Rey Mysterio and be that figurehead. And then they face Rey and say, oh, this is it. And then Rey wins. It's like, okay, so Rey's not putting anyone over to take that place yet. And it's like, Rey's going to be gone at some point, you know, guys? Like, he's going to just go, his knee's going to finally go, I'm done.
Yeah.
His knee will turn to dust at some point. And then they haven't got like a Latino replacement. It's just.
No. Not big money spinner anyway. They got Dom, but he's a big old heel.
Oh, for me, Dom could be the face of that company if he wanted to one day. I think they could make him into a baby face.
But yeah,
but eventually he will get turned organically. Eventually he will turn.
Yeah, he will.
Okay, highlight of the show for me now. Bloodline in the ring. Heyman announces or says that Roman has ordered, Tribal Chief orders that the group accept accountability for after WrestleMania. Sound a little bit like Roman was becoming a bit of a babyface for that there, because that was quite a noble, humble thing to say, or at least via, you know, via Heyman. He explained what a lot of people have talked about online that hadn't really been said yet about Seth Rollins being Cody's shield and Seth put himself in that position to distract Roman, and Roman basically cost himself by hitting Seth with the chair. And Heyman, again, without saying it, kind of insinuated that it's Roman's fault. Like, he cost himself the match. So it's little things that we can one day go back to. He said he went to talk about Roman rising like a phoenix from the ashes, and then Solo stopped him. And this is where the whole fucking game changed for me. So Solo gets on the mic and says that win and losing have consequences, absolutely, and consequence requires change. And then he stared straight down Jimmy. He hugged him, said he loved him, and then he was attacked by Tama Tonga, and this was awesome.
Bloodline Wolfpack is here.
Absolutely. It's gonna
grow. I can't wait for the clash of like a Bloodline original against Bloodline Wolfpack at maybe Survivor Series.
Like, we get a new Sozo and Roman versus like Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga and Solo. Yeah. This is it. So Solo hit several Samoan spikes on Jimmy. Then Heyman was called over, and he did throw out the one very tentatively. And Heyman went to call Roman on his phone, did the call in Roman, and Solo stopped him, grabbed the phone and stamped on the phone. Solo's gone rogue now.
I don't think we're too far away from Solo actually like laying hands on Heyman and Heyman disappearing. Because like Roman said in Heyman's introduction speak, without the wise man, there is no tribal chief. So he's going to go. When Roman comes back with Heyman, reunites with the Usos.
That's it. I think he beats down Heyman, puts him out, and then Heyman makes his big return with Roman Reigns kind of thing at some point as the massive babyface. And it's huge. Absolutely huge.
Fucking storytelling. This is so good.
It is. This is like, I did read something in the week that apparently even though Roman's off TV indefinitely, he's still creatively involved in the Bloodline, that he's still going to be a massive part of the creative.
Yeah. Like,
influence over it. So this is still Roman's show. It's just, because at this point he knows how to tell a story. Yeah. And he is telling, this is the summer of Solo. This is literally the summer of Solo for me.
Yeah.
This is exactly like, my mind's gone blank now, but I compared it to a previous angle. Triple H, DX, when Shawn Michaels lost the title of WrestleMania 14, next night on Raw, Triple H comes out, oh, Shawn, he lost it, he let down DX, I'm taking over. He brings in X-Pac, reforms DX as the new version, and look at Triple H. That's that, you know, this is it. This is exactly what Solo's doing now.
Yeah, fantastic.
I can't wait. God, can you see that? The thing is, this now builds up Cody versus Solo as like a major, major match somewhere down the line. Because Cody's on SmackDown now. So, there's a summer. If you don't want to go with Cody versus Rock or whatever at SummerSlam, you got Cody versus Solo. There's your SummerSlam main event.
I think the eventual story is that Rock is sort of the one that's the puppet master and he's put together this new Bloodline, and then Roman comes back and eventually, leads to Roman Rock Mania probably. But just the long-term storytelling is so fantastic.
I think it's good. The Jimmy twist was good because, let's be honest, Jimmy's not working as a solo heel. And you have a turning face to put him back with Jay, and you do babyface Usos. That's fine. I don't know what else you do with Jimmy otherwise. I just don't know if he has that aura to be a major heel as a solo act.
No, he doesn't. No. He doesn't have it to be a major face either. He seems to be, he's very much the Jannetty to Jay's Michaels, isn't he? He's just not as good, unfortunately. He hasn't got that it factor.
Martin, your view on the angle?
Yeah, I thoroughly loved it and sort of try not to repeat too much on what's already been said. I have read an interesting fan theory, you know, fantasy booking and that. Someone's posted the idea about war games at Survivor Series and include The Rock and Sami Zayn on either side. I mean, with The Rock's schedule and that and everything, I think we might be struggling to get him.
I don't see Rock before Mania. Personally, I don't see Rock before Mania next year.
No, that's it. But obviously, not yeah, it's ring. Sort of like, yeah, it'd be really intriguing if they do somehow manage to pull that off on that. I'm sure it'd be incredible on that. And then obviously as well, you've got the impending possible involvement of Jacob Fatu as well, joining the new bloodline as well. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
We heard over Mania weekend, didn't we, that he had signed. So it's a case of now when rather than if. I've seen a few things about like Tama Tonga's been eyed up since like end of last year. But as soon as I think it was one of the wrestlers came out and basically said, I think it was Carl Anderson, said that he texted Triple H and went, you know Tama Tonga's contract's up in December, right? Like you sign him. Like I don't put my name behind many guys. You sign this man now. So it's really been a case of, again, I don't think AEW were even within a sniff of him. Like, there's so much good stuff in the bloodline. What Samoan wrestler is going to want to go to AEW when they there? Can look over and see Roman Reigns is basically writing this entire soap opera and The Rock's involved? Like, whenever The Rock comes back now in the future, he will be involved with the bloodline. What Samoan wrestler is going to not want to be involved in that?
Yeah, exactly.
No. I mean, if anything, I think we're just going to see more family members potentially get involved because... I did read something a few days ago. Apparently, WWE have already sent their scouts out to keep an eye on Zilla Fatu. Who's Umaga's... Umaga's kid, ain't it? Yeah.
We'll be at the point where if a woman in the Samoan family gets pregnant, the WWE will literally offer them a contract in the womb. It's like, that's it. We're signing you now. Like, WrestleMania 70, like, you're there. That's it.
I mean, why not? At this point, they're all working out.
At this point. The quality through that, I know people talk about obviously like the Rhodes family is big and the Hearts, of course.
I
mean, we're going to do a probably show on this at some point. Is the Samoan dynasty generally the biggest wrestling family of all time? Like, I think through it.
The relation part is the thing, isn't it? But I think if you put that up against maybe the Heart Dungeon graduates and you include people like Benoit and Jericho and Dynamite Kid and all that sort of stuff. I think that's, imagine fantasy booking that. That's a hell of a feud.
give me peak Brett versus Roman now. Yes. Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get back to the ring. Cameron Grimes is still employed. He probably may not be for much longer if this match any indication. No, 90 seconds, less than 90 seconds, he was squashed by a Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like Cameron Grimes, and I thought Triple H liked Cameron Grimes. So I don't know what's going on here, if I'm honest. Is there not anyone else you could bring in for this spot?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of people.
Does this make Bron look good? Because Cameron's not been on TV for what feels like an age. If you're going to squash someone that actually it's meaningful, and that's no disrespect to Cameron, but if you've not been on TV, how does beating you mean anything?
Yeah, it doesn't.
And also, they've changed Bron Breakker's music, and it's now generic rock. For a company that have been so good at writing TV the last 6 months, why are they so shit at music?
Well, it's this one group, isn't it? One group do all of the things now.
Is it still the CFO dollar sign?
No, I think it's someone new now. They all do the same music.
Like that, I think.
Yeah.
Look at Rumble. I think even the Rumble last year, especially in the Women's Royal Rumble, I found. A lot of the times, I didn't know who was coming out because the music all sounded the same. Like, I saw a clip of, I think it was Seth Rollins at Rumble in the Skybox. And he didn't know it was someone coming out because he didn't know the music. He had to look and say, oh, yeah, I like him. So you can't tell. Like, there's no, for all the shit about the Attitude Era, and there's a lot of it. Like, the one thing is, every wrestler had their own identity from the gimmick to their song. Like, you knew who was coming out the minute their theme started.
Yeah.
Nowadays, outside of the big guys, generally couldn't tell you who it was from the first, like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bars of a song. Wouldn't know at all.
No, absolutely not.
What happened there? Can we get Jim Johnston back? Like,
get him back. Get him out of retirement.
Like, Vince isn't here now. Get Jim back.
Yeah.
Sort this out again.
Yeah.
Okay, Bayley promo now, new women's champion. Talking about giving new opportunities. This led to Tiffany Stratton coming out, and I thought, oh, here we go. It's Tiffy time. Post-Mania, here we go. Yeah. She talks about Bayley. She talks about obviously she wants to do challenge. Bayley said she acknowledges her, but she didn't want to face her. She wanted to face Naomi, which seems a little bit unfair because, you know, what's Naomi actually really done?
But yeah, it's not exciting, that. That's not new and fresh.
No.
I know Naomi's been away for a while, but I'd much rather see Bayley take Tiffany on.
Yeah. So Tiffany Naomi is set up for next match after the break. And I mean, I'm going to probably throw the hat in the ring now. Tiff wins Money in the Bank this year. That seems, it's always better, I think, for a heel to have it because the cash-in feels a lot more cheap than a babyface sort of sneaking it. And Tiffany could do some really good things with the briefcase. So I would...
Especially as Bayley as a face champion as well, yeah.
Yeah. Right, backstage, Heyman was about to be interviewed by random interviewer number one, but then he was stopped by Solo and Tama Tonga, who intimidated him into silence. Just keeping Heyman as a whipped puppet now. The wise man is now just, he's just there. He doesn't talk for Solo, I guess. Naomi beat Tiffany Stratton. This disappointed me because I don't see the point of Naomi winning. Honestly, I don't get it. I've never got Naomi. I've never understood the appeal.
No, I don't get the glow. Doesn't make sense to me. It's a cool character, and then the kids get behind it. Definitely, it's very sort of John Cena, bright colours sort of pathway. But yeah, just give Tiffany a chance. Like her and Bayley could have some fantastic matches. Really fantastic.
Like when Naomi went away, I wouldn't say she was missed, and I wouldn't say there was a clamour for her to come back. And now she's back, it just feels like. Are you different?
Like, they come back at Rumble, changed... like, cool, Naomi's back.
Yeah. Have you changed at all? Like, there's a lot of women on the roster that aren't getting opportunities, and Naomi doesn't feel like it's anything different. It just feels very much the same from 3 years ago, whatever it was. Mm. But it's got a job, so well done.
Yeah.
Okay. More women. Chelsea Green, fresh from getting asked to leave her hotel because they thought she was an escort. And then finally she got an apology, so that's good. And Pope and Niven, team to take on and never to be lose to, Jade Cargo and Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
There's the next women's tag team champions, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, it gives them something to do. It makes the belt seem a bit more prestigious because the Kabuki Warriors have had no one to challenge them in about 6 months at this point. So, yeah, gives Belair and Cargo something to do for a while.
Up next, we had an incredible promo here from Kevin Owens, who walked through the backstage area, in his words, trying out one of the cool new camera angles. Love that. Talk about the triple threat match that he's in tonight with AJ and Rey Mysterio to earn the right to face LA Knight for the shot at the championship. One cool little thing that no one mentioned is that he knocked over a stack of CM Punk shirts for no reason other than just to knock them over. And it's like, all right, that he purposely did that, and I don't know why. So I like that. That was good.
Yeah.
While there's a merchandise table backstage, I've no idea who's buying merch back. Oh, Heaven's not there to steal it. Like who's buying merch backstage? But this was great. Kevin Owens can be on my show every week just talking, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Okay, next week we are getting straight away, weirdly, Women's Championship, Bayley versus Naomi. Thought that would have been backlash, but okay. Street Profits versus New Cat Republic versus AOP versus Legado del Fantasma to determine number one contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, and an LA Knight against the winner of tonight's main event. Are we going to be getting like multi-man matches to determine challengers now? Is this a part of the new Triple H era?
I suppose it's an easy way of sort of, you know, getting loads of teams and people a bit of TV time, sort of, you know, here's your chance. Take it or blow it, sort of thing, maybe. But yeah, obviously, at the same time, I think they've got to be a bit overcautious about overbooking and having too much on one TV show at times. Obviously, I know on Raw at times it can be a bit of a struggle with a third hour and that, and trying to keep people's attentions. But yeah, me personally, I think that's sort of the logical reasoning behind it.
It just feels a bit lazy, and there's no story there because there's no. I love a feud that's personal and it means that you can invest it. What's there to invest in that, you know, AJ Styles, for example, as we think is going to face Cody. There's no story there. It's just, I beat a couple of guys to get there. So, all right.
Yeah, once he gets there, you can lead into them both being Bullet Club leaders at some point, and you've got a lot of story there. But to get to that point, yeah, there's nothing. He just wants to face Cody.
It's just because that means you got in total now we're gonna have obviously Lashley's had to lose a match in the triple threat, as has Santos Escobar, and then the two losers in the triple threat match. That's four people got to lose, plus then the fifth person in the singles match. So five people got to lose when they could just have
Just to get
AJ
one
Styles
vote
come out
in.
and attack Cody and say,
Yeah.
I'm back, I want that belt. Simple, I
Well, he
want the
did that to
title.
LA Knight for 3 weeks in a row. Flew to Australia to do that very same thing, just for a
Yeah,
match without a
so
belt on the line. So.
it's just, and you could do like the whole little like mini tournament once, that's fine, but then you're doing it for, you don't have for one title, then you got to do it for another. And obviously, this has got the SmackDown one, so Raw's got the same, which we'll get to on the next show. And then like the women's titles, and it's just like, okay, I get there's a show in 3 weeks, like Backlash is coming, you need to get something for that, but
Yeah.
I want to see better. Oh, this is supposed to be like the new era. This feels like a Vince staple still of like, let's just book challenges off of triple threat matches.
Yeah.
Like, but there's time. I get it. It's a bit of a turnaround thing, but I hope this is just a one-off and future pay-per-views or PLEs will have more stories going into their title
Yeah.
matches. Right, main event time. Triple threat to determine the other or the opponent for LA Knight in next week's number one contenders match. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Rey Mysterio. This was as good as you think it would be because it's three world-class wrestlers.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with these three, can you? There was no way this was going to be a bad match.
No.
I'm relatively happy with the winner. I would have been interested to see Kevin Owens go against Cody Rhodes. I think that will be something we'll get in the future as well. Would have been great. Don't really care to see Ray versus Cody, to be honest. He's got other stuff happening.
I don't see what around the main events now. I don't.
Yeah.
It's hard to buy him in the main event. I know he's good and he's got that legacy, but
I could see
he's
him being
small.
drafted to Raw soon and have it mixing up with Sammy for the US title, the IC title, which would be fine. Good
That
matches.
could work. Yeah. It just feels like Ray's floundering already. Like he was rushed back into a feud with Dom for Mania, which is now seemingly over. He's now lost in this match. And it's like, what does Ray do now? Like, it's just there. I really
Yeah,
enjoyed
hopefully
the
the
finish,
draft makes a
though.
lot of stuff up.
The finish, middle rope Styles Clash to Ray onto a prone Owens, and then AJ rolled through and pinned Ray. That was really good. I like that. That was really, really clever finish. And AJ and LA Knight went face to face. So we have our match for next week. This was a good SmackDown, I thought.
Yeah, got the job done. Got a lot of things achieved. You got, yeah, you line up, you've got your number one contender match. You've got, yeah, it's ticked all the boxes, really.
Martin, your view?
Yeah, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously, for me, the big thing was obviously the whole bloodline and sort of, you know, teasing this is what they got planned in the pipeline and that. And
Yeah.
yeah, a bit like you said, I think I'd like a little bit more thought out rivalries and that for the titles and not just let's just put a load of matches together and determine it that way. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. I'd love for like AJ to turn around, hopefully when he beats LA Knight and that and goes into that rivalry. Maybe he could sort of like twist it and that and go back to his rivalry with Samoa Joe a couple of years ago. We could have old Brandy.
Thing is, if Brandy's going to be like a character on TV, and I don't know if that is any kind of plan, it's she can work an angle, like she can participate, she can talk. You know, it's not the way, and it also adds that personal touch to it as well that someone's going after, you know, Cody's personal life. So yeah, that's an option. I think if they ever want to go there, I'm sure Brandy would be up for
Yeah,
getting
definitely.
involved.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on to Raw, we're in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. We are starting straight off with confirmation of news that came out over the weekend that unfortunately proved to be true. Rhea Ripley announced that she'll be out for a few months injured and has been told to vacate the World Women's Championship. This sucked.
I did see someone on Twitter say, well, hang on a minute. Roman Reigns didn't defend his belt for like 3 months. Why didn't he have to
Funny
vacate
that. Yeah, it's a bit strange.
it?
I mean, given that Seth didn't work for 3 months when he was injured,
Yeah.
why couldn't
January
Rhea
to
just do like
Mania.
segments with the Judgment Day?
Yeah, she could have done. No one would
I
have.
don't.
As far as I'm concerned, that's all she did last year anyway as champion. I don't
Unless it's a
remember her
lot
facing
longer
anyone.
than a few months and she's going to be gone for an age, I don't know why you had to take the belt. Like, are they that desperate to have a women's title feud that they have to get the belt off her? It just, I don't
Is it
know.
going to be Liv Morgan? I really don't want it to be Liv Morgan. I don't know why, but I was so underwhelmed by her match at Clash at the Castle. I just don't think she's a very good champion.
The story's there with Liv and Rhea. It absolutely is. But I don't... Rhea's going to come back a babyface, like a huge babyface, because she already pretty much is. And they painted Liv as a heel here by sort of mocking Rhea's injury, which is definitely not a babyface thing to do. So that to me says that a heel's going to have to be the champion. I don't see Liv being a heel outside of this show. So, I mean, I'm all for putting it on Nia Jax because I think she's been outstanding since she came back. And fuck it, give the girl some flowers and give her that belt, because if anyone can be a heel champion in the women's division right now, it's Nia Jax.
Yeah. I saw people suggest they reheat up Shayna Baszler because I'm fairly self-made heel there straight away. But
yeah,
I don't think Liv Morgan's a very good champion. I think she's a very good challenger because she's the underdog. She looks like an underdog. She's tiny.
Sympathy's easy for Liv Morgan, is it? You can easily think, oh, go on. Oh, no, you've just missed out. But good luck. You don't really buy. Well, they've announced that next week they're going to crown the new champion, which makes me fear we're getting a battle royal.
Oof.
Because otherwise, how do you crown a champion with no challengers? Like, do you just give it to Liv because she injured the champ? Do you
a women's battle royal just gives me flashbacks of fucking the Bellas and Alicia Fox and stuff.
Can we not do champion crownings via battle royals? There's no, unless it's a heel wins and therefore you can boo that because you're booing the heel and therefore it's heel heat, you can get away with that. But otherwise, can we just have something, another way of doing it? I don't know. Maybe like a little Queen of the Ring tournament over the course of the night or something. I don't know.
Bring Alexa back.
But yeah, all that. I don't know. Is she given birth yet? Okay,
quite
so
a few months ago now.
It could be then.
Yeah, I think she started like retraining a few weeks back or something. I'm in agreement with Ross though. Liv for me is a chaser. She's not really that great as a champion and that. And to be fair as well, this whole like Liv's revenge tour and that is sort of like, other than attacking Rhea, what she actually really done.
It's not really a revenge tour, is it? It's more just it's a revenge moment. Yeah, it's not a tour. It's not continuing. Do they know what a tour is? Do they understand what a tour is?
They tour all the time. They should be aware of what it is.
I think so. They're on a European tour right now. Like, that's what a tour is.
I did like Rhea headbutting that security guard, though.
That was good.
Yeah.
She's going to be absolutely huge. This is going to be a massive year for. I mean, she had a massive year last year. This is going to be a huge year for Rhea Ripley. You find
I've
that
got a great
segue
for you, Andrew,
it...
from there. Surely.
Sorry, go. What's that?
I've got a great segue for you as well. Speaking of huge things,
okay.
Sheamus is back.
Oh, come on now, that's not fair. So Sheamus returned. How do I put this?
A lot of them, isn't there.
So he beat Ivar. The match was fine. He had his old music. Well, apparently only for 1 week because they've got brand new Death Rebel music, which should probably be very Irish. And Sheamus didn't quite look how he did 8 months ago, should we say. And there's been a lot of online...
incredible shape in his before he went away.
He's been a lot of online comments about it. And Sheamus has taken it all in his stride on social media, as you'd expect. He actually tweeted out today as we record this. He tweeted out, Okay, take your best shots. Way almost too many pies, etc. Then we're done with the Photoshop and then the shaming. And he basically admitted, I was aiming for the draft, got called up. I've got an early call up. My bad, on me. Been sleeping in the gym ever since to watch this space. So I think he's taken it on board. And if he has been called back early, then you think the draft is, what, 2 more weeks away yet? So 2 weeks in the gym, given what kind of a freak he is in the gym, that could make all the difference.
That's
so
fair, yeah.
It might be that in a couple of weeks, we'll see... old Sheamus again, but it does feel like if proof ever needed that Vince was no longer there, Vince would never let him on TV in that condition. That's all I will say.
Yeah. That was
best like the Walters and the Keith Lees and stuff, but it was good to see him back. I don't like the attire, the WWE branded Sheamus pants. I mean, they're going to sell those as boxer shorts on WWEshop.com, right? They're going to be available. It's just, I don't know. Did they need to bring him back now? Couldn't it have waited till the draft?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Like, you know, why was the big need to bring him back essentially 2 weeks early? and that, and plus as well, I think he put out the other day that he'd nearly retired 2 months ago with that, but luckily he spoke with doctors and physios and loads of other people on that, and obviously he's managed to get back into the spot where he is at now. So
I mean, he's already a medical marvel because he was supposed to have had spinal stenosis about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
How is he still going?
It seems strange to have Ivar take the loss here as well, because he's challenging Obafemi for the North American title, and he's been on a really good run and looked really good as a single sort of wrestler recently as well. So
that's peculiar.
Because his gimmick is awful, but I think he's been really good.
Again, I suppose a bit like with the Cameron Grimes situation, just slightly differently. Yeah. But, you know, you build Ivar up for the North American title. Why would you then put him in a spot where he's going to lose to a returning superstar?
Just took Cameron Grimes on Raw this week.
Couldn't Sheamus have beaten like Akira Tozawa or something?
Yeah.
Another big guy, just any big guy there. They must have another big man they can put in.
Otis, is there any?
What's he doing? Just like, Otis must do him.
Anything, yeah. Can you imagine the impact Sheamus, despite how he looked, picking up and slamming and beating Otis, Omos? Seems weird, some of the selections. It's like, is Paul Levesque okay? Is Mania taking it that much out of him? He's having a little bit of a slip at the moment. Like, can we check on Paul? Speaking of which, Paul Levesque out again. He's loving the TV time at the moment. To introduce new World Tag Team Championship belts. The Raw Tag Team titles are gone. It's now the World Tag Team titles, which fits in with the women's title, of course. I mean, they're better than the Gladiator head ones they had before. But, I mean, they're not great.
They're like cheese pizzas. I can't see it. Also, it wasn't Paul Levesque there either. It was Tommaso Ciampa.
It was Tommaso Ciampa, yeah.
That truth is fucking brilliant.
The belt looks too much like the world title for me. I get there's a theme of the world one, but that logo doesn't suit title belts.
No.
And these belts, it feels like something that an amateur would create on 2K24 with no practice of creating belts.
I think belts need to be like rectangular almost. The traditional tag image.
I'm not saying we have to go back to using all the old belts, but what's wrong going back to the old mid-90s tag belts, so like Money Inc. and the Steiners had, like the classic tag belts.
They were the best ones, definitely.
Because we know on SmackDown this week, we're going to get him come out again to introduce, to give the WWE tag team titles to whoever wins, you know, the two, Grayson and Austin, and they're going to look like, well, I don't know what they're going to look like. Probably these,
blue, maybe.
I don't know. What's the women's theme? Is it white for... Bayley's got this SmackDown women's, which is white and blue, I think.
Yeah. There's too many belts.
I don't know.
Becoming like boxing.
This was a segment where R-Truth's comedy didn't quite land, and that usually doesn't happen, but this time it's just seemed a little bit like, okay, yeah, we're still doing the DX's DIY thing.
They're not going to hold those belts for long, are they? I think DIY take those belts off them very, very soon.
I think someone's taking the belts off them. But good on Miz for still being relevant with a championship in 2024, though. Up next, talking to DIY, they beat the New Day and the Creeds to become number one contenders to the tag team titles. So, another triple threat match, determined number one contenders. Yay! Nothing like consistency.
We know how good DIY are. They just need a chance to show it on the main roster. And I think if they're going to have to go as a tag team, then fine. I'd prefer to see them against each other, beating the ever-living shit out of each other. But as a tag team, fine.
Are they a team that are just destined to be like an NXT arena? Do they seem... I hate to use the word small, because this is how Vince would think. But, do they just don't seem... Not big in stature, but they don't seem like that big world tag team that like the main roster teams do. They just, I don't know, something's not been there since they came up, and I can't, their quality, their work is incredible, their personality is there, Ciampa's great, always has been. Something's there that's missing, and I don't know what it is.
What is missing is in the Creed brothers. Julius Creed is, he's the white Montez Ford. He is the next absolute superstar waiting to happen. That boy is incredible. And he's like 23, 24 years old.
Oh, we're talking Brock levels here, aren't we? We're talking Brock Lesnar 2002 levels now. New Day do what they do. Like, I did see this week that Big E put a tweet saying 2 years or whatever, and he hasn't been cleared and doesn't think he actually will be cleared. But he's happy and he's in love and he's dating Mia Yim's sister, and good for him. It does feel like Big E's done at this point.
Yeah, I think so as well. And obviously, at the end of the day, you know, pick your health and happiness over potentially doing more damage. That. And just touch on what we was discussing earlier. I wish they would do a bit more with the Creed brothers, that, because all it seems at the minute is sort of, you know, they're in like the multi-tag matches that, and, you know, they don't ever win. And, like, you know, they were massive in NXT. Yeah.
Give them a feud.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's it, putting them in multi-man matches only works if they mean something. Otherwise, it's like, well, you're going to lose. You're not going to win this because you haven't done. Exactly. And as good as they are and as good as they can be, they are right now just filler. Like, New Day, that established team who can win a match, they can lose a match, they're Teflon, they're fine, they'll get a pop. It's the New Day. It's all good. Creeds aren't there yet. They're not that team. They don't have much exposure to the mainstream, to the main roster crowds. It's they got a lot of teams and a lot of solo acts as well that are just waiting for that, as you said, give them a story, give them something to actually introduce them to us and what they're about and what they can do and personalities. That's what sells tickets. That's what does it.
Yeah, I think the problem is we've got too many tag teams doing nothing, essentially.
Or we've got solos being put into tag teams, but it's singles being put into tag teams. Yeah. So you've got tag teams, actual tag teams. Use them.
Tag teams,
Yeah,
it's been like at this point, trying not to go off too much on a tangent about the tag team divisions at the minute, and that, but it's been like I'm sort of almost done with the with Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins as a team. That I'm just like, look, let's just get it over and done with. Let's split them up and that, and then like Montez Ford can, I don't know, maybe go for the IC title and that, have like a reign, or with the US title maybe.
Yeah. Just right now, it feels like you have to make him big as a tag team to be able to make him big as a solo, because right now there's so nothing. Would anyone care if he went solo right now? Like,
no, they've missed the boat almost with Montez Ford.
Totally. But he seems like one of their guys.
Ford versus Logan Paul would be a fucking show stealer. Yeah. It would be incredible.
Like, he seems like the sort of guy that they would literally throw the entire company behind. He fits their mold completely. He's black, let's be honest. There's an elephant in the room. He ticks the diversity box. He's got athleticism. He's got personality. He's got the fucking reality show. Like, he ticks all of the boxes. Why are you not doing something with him?
Yeah. To be fair, I did actually sit there and watch a bit of the TV series with Bianca Belair. And, like, you know, even in that, they're teasing and building Montez Ford as, right, he's going to be a singles guy now and that and everything. And they just haven't done it. And even he says in it, he's like, look, I love Angelo and that, but, like, you know, I got to start thinking of myself and that a little bit, and, like, you know, I want to make a name and a brand for myself and that. And
even using the terms, he's a brand, he's even got the terminology down. That guy's a star. He knows what he's up to. One day, let's hope, once WrestleMania fully pans out and we start getting a bit more stability in the stories and stuff, that the profits, and especially
they need to fully turn one of them, don't they? They need to go Miz and Morrison, probably turn one of them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, obviously, I know they had the match at Mania and that, but like, no one cares about their sort of alliance with Bobby Lashley, but that's almost sort of like, all right, Bobby needs a tag team for his group. Oh, sod it, put the profits with him.
That match at Mania seemed like it's just punished Karrion Kross for 15 minutes with kendo sticks and chairs. Yeah. That's all that match was.
Fine. I had no issue with it. But it didn't seem to be there to highlight Lashley and the Profits. It was there just to give Bubba a payday as referee and, you know,
sneak up Karrion Kross.
Okay, singles match. Andrade, is he working? Like, is this actually working right now of Andrade? Like, the black mask, is that over with anyone other than Andrade himself? Because no one seems to give a shit about the black mask for a start. Yeah,
it's not thing,
what's
it?
Going on?
Is, like, that someone who sort of like incorporated in AEW and that, and he sort
did
of got
the black mask then?
Bring it in WWE.
But no one got it there either.
No. Like, it's not a thing. Go back to him when he was in NXT, just as a wrestler, a very, very good wrestler.
This is exactly the position he was in when he left to go AW in the first place. And that was under someone he didn't want to work for. Like, isn't he supposed to be one of Triple H's guys? Like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah. The Bleacher Report this week said perfectly that just keep him busy until they can figure out what to do with him. Having feud with the Justice League, the Judgment Day.
Oh, yes.
Having feud with the Justice League. having feud with Dom and having feud with maybe Finn as well. Like, have some good matches, like, until you can figure out what you're actually going to do with him.
He keeps him on TV. I can only imagine how happy a babyface must be when they find that they're working with Dom that night, because they know it's an easy night. Just do a few basic moves, let Dom get the heat. How did Andrade come off as so plain against the biggest heel, in some cases, in the company?
He got outshone by Ricochet as well.
Yeah, like, nobody cared about Andrade, but they hate Dom, but they didn't care enough. They didn't even want Andrade to win. It was just like... Dom, you awful. Oh, Andrade. Yeah, okay, whatever. It's not good when you can't get a shine against someone who gets as much heat as Dom.
Yeah. Mm. He's obviously got sway backstage because of who he's married to. Like, she's going to...
Maybe it is that. It's just, it seems very weird. But at least he hasn't brought Rick with him. So that's something.
Oh, God.
Rick, come and sign with AW for 3-4 years. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'm on board. But, oh, no, I'm off now. Sorry, Dad. I'm done.
God, that contract's watertight for Rick over in AW.
Hey, you've got to try and sell that mushroom energy drink somehow. Right, Cody's back again. Yay. He announced he's a SmackDown wrestler, and he introduced Jey Uso, seemingly endorsing him as the number one babyface in the company now. So
I liked his dad joke, until we yeet again. Very good, Cody. We're all dads around our 40s. We can all appreciate a good dad joke. Cody, what else?
He did briefly talk about Rock and said that Rock said he's going to make Cody bleed, so Cody make him bleed. And it was like, all right, okay, fine. And then, Cody offered to help Jay against the Judgment Day. And Jay said, no, I'm doing it on my own. So, all right, you don't want the world champion to help you. Good idea, Jay.
Jay's bulletproof vest.
Yep. That looked cool. Yeah, that's it. Oh, I like this, that it established that Cody's off now and he's done on Raw, and it was kind of passing the baby face on Raw torch to Jey Uso. That made sense. I like this. This was fine.
Mm. Yeah, Jey is over huge. I never thought that he would be over this massive. And maybe it's because it's Montreal and that crowd's fucking insane. But
it could be. But then Jey gets these kind of reactions all the time. So he is just over.
I like to hear McAfee said, I just yeeted myself. A nice Canadian yeet job.
And then Cole went, oh, you'll be useless for the rest of the night. Okay. All right. Fine.
Brilliant.
This led to Jey versus Finn Balor. This was good. I like this. Didn't go as long as I would have hoped it would have. And the outcome was pretty predictable, really, wasn't it?
Are we at the point now that Finn Balor is actually underrated as how good he is in the ring? And we've just had an incredible match with anyone.
We circled back to where we've forgotten how fucking good Finn Balor is.
Yeah. He is superb.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we've forgotten how good Finn Balor is, because we know how good he is, but it's like they're trying to make us forget. It's like, what? No, I don't get this, because he is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
thoughts on this match and Finn and Jey and how over he fucking is.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, Jey was made off of the rivalry with Roman and that, and everything that he just became ridiculously massive off of that. Which, I'm in agreement. I never saw that coming in a million years, and that, you know, it was just that he was they're going to be that way for him forever, sort of thing.
I watched the Roman documentary on A&E. The theme they're doing, which was outstanding, great documentary. Actually, fully recommend it. And hearing Jey talk like out of character about how like appreciative you can tell he is that Roman's got him here. Like from day one, Roman's mission was always, this isn't just to get me over. I want to get all of us there. And okay, it's not worked with Jimmy, but that's by the by. He's got Jey genuinely main event Jey Uso. Like over the course of this, nearly 4 year story now, a 3.5 year story. Not only has Roman become possibly the best of all time, as people are calling him, you know, and one of the elite top guys ever, he has got Jey Uso to this point, and it cannot be understated how much Roman has done with that story and building him as that kind of person you want to get behind.
Yeah.
Incredible work. Selfless as well. For a top guy to put that much time into making yourself over and also bringing up others around you, like he has built, I know people have started to really give Roman flowers since Mania and everything, but it can't be said enough how much Roman's done over the last 3.5 years that he's leaving behind the talent that are in the position they are. And Jey Uso is one of those prime examples.
Yeah, massively. But yeah, no, I really, really enjoyed this match. And yeah, just echoing on what you've already said, Finn Balor is ridiculous. And I'm going to come out and say it, he's been wasted in the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Now that Priest has got the title on that, I say, screw it. Let's just split out the Judgment Day, have Finn turn on Damian, and yeah, just full out war between them two, potentially, for a little while.
Everything he does in the ring is just so smooth. Like, there's no hiccup between his moves. He's fucking superb.
He's almost like robotic and that. So, you know, at times it's so effortless and that. It's just ridiculous.
Well, he hits the sling blade and he just throws his like missile drop kicks and just straight on that top rope for the coup de grace. He may be my favourite wrestler. Like, I love Seth Rollins as a character wrestler, but Finn Balor as an actual in-ring wrestler, he might be my favourite.
I think I saw talk a while ago that Finn's contract was coming up. Now, surely they don't let someone like Finn Balor go.
No, because Tony Khan would throw, just give him an open checkbook, wouldn't he?
Yeah. But I know there's a lot of talk about Drew's contracts in its last 5-6 weeks. Becky's contract's coming up, which apparently is a priority.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
Finn's contract's coming. Like, these are guys and girls you don't let go. You don't let them get to this point. I mean, I think the Drew contract thing at this point is going to be like a Punk angle where he'll just go elsewhere and, you know, almost like a Summer of Punk, but like not signing the deal and going away. I could see Drew doing that. Honestly, I could.
Yeah, he'll appear in some indie promos.
About working with other companies. Yeah. Why can't they send Drew to other companies? Like, given the world title at Clash at the Castle and his contract expires, do it. Just fucking do CM Punk again with Drew McIntyre.
If he rocks up at Impact, like as a former champion there as well, with that belt, you know.
Done. And they could because the partnership's there. Like,
yeah, that door is open. Yeah. That forbidden door.
That forbidden door. Triple H hates. Okay, right. Now we have the moment that everyone's been talking about since Monday night and what could be possibly the greatest moment in Raw history, some are even calling it, which who knows. So, Jey escaped an attack from the Judgment Day, went through the crowd, up through the crowd, into the concourse where the merch stands and all the food and stuff is. Cameras follow the whole time. You know, Jay's eating and he's talking all sorts of stuff and pushing fans out of the way, trying to get selfies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he meets Sammy, coincidentally, conveniently, whatever. Sammy talks about, I grew up 45 minutes from here, this is it, I'm home, all this lot. And then Sammy walks off towards them, the camera follows Sammy, he's going through the crowd and he's throwing bins everywhere and just generally causing chaos and litter, if I'm honest. I mean, come on. And then he comes out into the arena and just this... I can't say enough about this camera work. This was incredible.
Yeah. The ovation that he got, Jesus Christ. I mean, he's seen some huge ovations in the recent years. That's up there. That's up there with Bray's return. That's up there with like all of the big, massive returns we've had. You don't normally get that for a guy who's not returning from an injury. He's been here all the time. He's just in his hometown.
Rock loves to do his whole like goosebump thing when he comes out. Yeah. You watch that, that's goosebumps. Like watching the angle, watching him walk out to his people, you know, sort of, and that hometown response.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I don't know who's devising these camera shots and this plan of let's walk around and live, and this is a live environment. This is a live thing, almost like the backstage area. It's its own world. It's its own living, breathing thing. I love it. It changes. So it makes so much difference to the presentation.
Yeah, fantastic match as well.
It was. So before the match, we had Michael Cole announced next week's Raw is going to see the new Women's World Champion crowned. How they're going to do it, we don't know. Please, no Battle Royal. And also, we get Awesome Truth versus DIY for the World Tag Team Championships. Why are matches not being saved for Backlash France?
I don't know. It's literally like 3 weeks away.
Bayley, Naomi, DIY vs. Awesome Truth. These are title matches. Put them on the pay-per-views.
Yeah, Backlash is on... it's 2 Saturdays from now. May the 4th.
Because otherwise you're gonna have to create a new story for DIY Awesome Truth after this story to get to what's the point? Just have 3 weeks of telling a story. Oh Jesus. Paul Levesque, don't be that guy. Don't be like you know who. Do things properly. Oh, right. You two talk about this main event because this was incredible. This was amazing. Jay versus Sammy for the IC Championship. Go.
Go on, mine. Yeah.
Sammy versus Chad, even not Jay. Fucking hell. Sammy versus Chad. Go.
I'm too excited with the eating.
I yeeted myself. I need a 5 minute break.
We're all Pat McAfee. Mark.
I'm done for the rest of the evening now.
Yeah. Yeah. This was just absolutely incredible, and that end. I'm all for heel Chad Gable. That bloke is incredible, absolutely incredible. And again, obviously he's not in the same stature, but again, Chad Gable, he's so underrated in that at times. It's not even funny. I mean, so you know, I get the whole why they've done it and Sammy getting the IC title, but for me still, it was Chad Gable's story to beat Gunther personally. Mm-hmm. But
I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. I'm not going back into that again.
We move on. But yeah, no, absolutely incredible. And yeah, and then the bit after the match and that with Sammy's family and that, and just absolutely brilliant.
Gable German suplexing Sammy from his arms wide at the arms of his wife was such a heel move. It's so good. I messaged Andrew on Tuesday and said, "You make him Kurt Angle wrestling machine now. You go full on this. He is the best wrestler in the company, and you have him just destroy people." Like this sights set more, firmly on that title.
I would have him destroy Alpha Academy, destroy Otis, destroy even put an ankle lock on Maxine, whatever. Destroy Tozawa. Yeah. Do you have him just be like, give him a fucking mouth guard? He becomes Kurt Angle. Like, to literally pull a man from his wife's arms. And also, is Sami Zayn's wife the best wrestling wife in the sport now? She just looks like she genuinely believes. Like, it's not like, oh, you can kind of tell. She's like, hey, I'm supporting my husband while he does his wrestling thing. Like, Sami's wife genuinely think, like, oh my God, she's so scared. Like, she's genuinely fearful for her husband. She was great in the Roman stuff last year, and she's knocking it out of the park now.
Yeah.
Like, outstanding. But no, this match was everything. As much as it was Chad's story to tell and so that, the story is now Chad is now the heel, and he's going to get that eventually, and he's now going to... Oh, my God, that ankle lock, middle rope ankle lock through the... And, just perfect. So, so good.
He's going to win that belt at some point, and it's going to be huge when he does.
Yeah. That was Raw. It felt, I don't know, the shows do have a touch of the after the Lord Mayor's dinner with Mania at the moment. It's like, okay, well, we've had the highest of highs and now it's the inevitable come down, but we still need to keep it like bubbling up kind of thing. And it's there. It's good. It's not bad, far from it. But it just feels like we're in that lull that we always get every year, except it's not like a really bad lull like it has been.
No.
Going off what next week. Go on.
I was just saying, just going off what we were just saying a minute ago, I can't help but feel in the back of my head, like if Vince was still around, I think he would full on go like, you know, oh, Jason Jordan was the fake Kurt Angle's son. It's really Chad Gable.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's right or wrong from four how many years ago. It was always Chad. It's always going to be Chad. Okay, right. Before we go, we have some Vince McMahon news because he's back in the news this week. This week, Vince McMahon and WWE as a whole have received their waivers of summons in the trafficking lawsuit. So I don't really know too much what this actually means from a legal point of view, but they've submitted some sort of paperwork or something in regards to the case. Waivers of summons dated March 15th for Vince and WWE have surfaced on the court docket that was initially issued previously, alongside a waiver of summons for John Laurinaitis, also on March 15th. It's pushing ahead. The defendants have until May the 14th to respond, with a 60-day window from the 15th of March when they issued those waivers of summons. There was an article in one of the media outlets in America talking about basically what Vince has been doing ever since all this broke and he's been in the gym. He's been going on holidays. He brought back some kittens that he apparently has given out to friends and family and stuff. I'm like,
I'm a nice guy, really, like pal.
This sounds like Mr. Burns wants a new vest. And he's just brought back a load of cats. Just to, like, I can now just picture like Vince going, see my vest, see my vest, mate. And that's all I see now is Vince and Mr. Burns.
I've read a report that he's been in touch quite a lot with Donald Trump recently, which just fits perfectly, doesn't it? It just, they could be caught together. They could be caught
And I also saw like a rebuttal saying, no, it's not true. They spoke after Vince's surgery, but that's it. I don't believe that for a second. It's also been claimed that Vince is still in touch with John Cena and Dwayne Johnson. And the lawyer for Janelle Grant's come out and said, it's absolutely reprehensible that they're still in contact because given what has been alleged about Vince McMahon, speaking about him, speaking to him privately, and yet never actually speaking out against him publicly is really, really bad. Like, Cena's come out and said, I love that man. Accountability is important, but I love Vince McMahon. And Rock's never really said anything bad against him. And it just feels like this doesn't look great when you've got like the biggest star in Hollywood and one of the biggest wrestlers of all time still in contact with Vince McMahon and also never really publicly distancing like everyone else seems to.
Yeah.
It does. It's not a good look.
In that same report, it says that Vince hasn't had any contact at all with Triple H or Stephanie since he was like his resignation in January. So the family have fully distanced themselves from him.
There was a lot of people that believed that Stephanie's appearance at Mania was kind of definitely a shot to Vince, especially with the very public, there's a Paul Levesque era, stuff like that. I did see, I think it was Jim Cornette. I want to say Cornette or Russo, one of the two. That believes that Triple H is kind of being set up as a four because you always build someone up before you bring them down. And they're building Paul Levesque up huge, huge, huge to bring him down. And it's like, that doesn't seem like a very good thing to do, to build someone up that much to then cut the legs out from under them. I don't know.
Sounds like a very Cornette thing to say. That
it does, doesn't it? It really does. I don't know. I still am in the belief that Levesque must have known something about something, but I guess he must have been asked these questions and they must have done some sort of check into it because how can you put that much stock behind a man in your company if you're not going to have full faith in him?
To be fair, it couldn't have been Russo because you're missing about four or five bros in that sentence.
Bro! Yeah, okay, fair point. There's no swerves either, so it couldn't have been Russo. Also, some news about Drew Gulak, who, of course, been brought up in the news by Ronda Rousey recently. She accused him of inappropriately grabbing her drawstring when going for a handshake. How the fuck do you shake hands, Drew Gulak? Anyway, he has been removed from NXT storylines with the very strong insinuation that he was killed off by Tony D'Angelo on this week's NXT. And WWE have now officially started an investigation into the allegations. So expect Drew to be quietly released very soon.
Yeah. There was, on completely different news, it was UFC's 300th show this past weekend. They drew a gate of $16.5 million for that show.
Sweet Lord.
Which is the third highest. That's only their third highest grossing event. Obviously, that's a 100 and 200. But that their company value, UFC, is what, $11.3 billion. Forbes just released a report of the highest valued combat sports promotions. WWE's $6.8 billion. AEW's valued at $2
billion.
Wow.
Yeah. Not that I particularly care for McGregor, but did I hear right that it's been like announced he's coming back and fighting Chandler? Is that true?
He's going to get his face knocked off.
Oh, absolutely. Get destroyed. He'll be in the movie by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that new Roadhouse just purely off of the couple of clips I've seen of him in it.
I've watched it. It's a great comedy. It's a great comedy.
What else do I see? Oh, Nick Khan's been talking about WrestleMania this week as well. Their plans for Mania going forward. So he wants to keep Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble all in North America, so no international shows for the big four. But he is looking at having more international shows for the other cards of the year. So your Backlash is obviously this year, Elimination Chamber, of course, is in Perth. You've got obviously the Queen and King of the Rings in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, London had Money in the Bank last year. So I think, as expected, for the very foreseeable future at least, there's no WrestleMania coming to the UK, despite Cody Rhodes' best attempts on the European tour this week. I'm not surprised. Even with how things are different now, I still see the big four will always be kept as a North American thing, I think.
That's fine. I don't mind that. I'd love to see a Rumble in the UK. I would move heaven and earth to go to a Rumble, more so than a WrestleMania, I think. But it makes sense that that's their four staples, and you can move the other ones around the world. That's not a problem. Not a problem at all. Just before we go, I know we need to wrap up. We're going quite long, but the rumoured Wyatt family reunion. Andrew, what do you think?
I
don't know why we need to drag Matt Hardy into it.
Yeah,
no, fuck off. Straight away, no. There's a reason you're still out of contract. You're not wanted. Like,
if AEW don't want you at this point, you're done.
Yeah. I did see reports that Eric Rowan has pulled out of some announced shows, and he was seen in, I think it was Pittsburgh or something, somewhere in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, where they do the medical testing for WWE. So it does appear that Eric Rowan's coming back, which is fine. Obviously,
these QR codes means it's Uncle Howdy, isn't it? But
they're doing the whole "you forgot about us." So it's a Wyatt Six thing. Obviously, Alexa's due back at some point, and obviously, Braun Strowman's on the way back. And Rowan's coming in, and of course, they're trying to find the right time to bring Bo Dallas back as Uncle Howdy. My fear is it's not going to work without Bray. It's a tribute act, and a tribute act has very, very, very short shelf life, especially someone who was so revered as Bray Wyatt was. This doesn't seem it's going to come off well for anyone involved.
I don't get how, obviously they're all from different eras of Bray's evolution through wrestling, but how does the Alexa character mix with Eric Rowan? They're from two completely different parts of that career. I don't think.
And also, last time we saw those together, Alexa turned on Bray. They weren't
even
together.
Match against Randy.
I said to you, Ross, on a little chat in the week, this feels like the whole post-Eddie Guerrero thing. Like, Chavo's safe. He's got a job. Give him the Eddie sympathy thing. Yes. It's like, I like Bo Dallas. He's fine. He can do a job in any other role you want to put him in. Fine. Yeah. NXT, trainer, part-time worker, mid-card guy on the main roster. Absolutely fine. Do not lumber him with a character that was directly associated with Bray Wyatt on his last appearances on TV.
Yeah.
And don't put him in an angle or a story that is paying tribute to someone. It's
going to drown him, unfortunately.
Like something that I would hope Paul Levesque would know better on, but I fear that we are getting that. And God forbid if Matt Hardy fucking shows up on TV, I give up. What does he offer any wrestling promotion?
I mean, he offers nothing. But it's not going to be woken Matt Hardy, at least. It would be broken Matt Hardy at this point, I feel. But again, it doesn't make any difference.
Is the Bray link. And I know Matt did this himself because he
Vanguard 1 and Bray.
He kind of brought on the links himself. But obviously, we know Matt is out of contract. It's an option, I guess. And I really fear how this is going to work. It's not going to be an insult to Bray, obviously, but
no.
I don't know anyone comes out of this shining. I don't. I really don't.
It's almost as if they're setting up Bo to fail.
Yeah.
And why would you?
Yeah.
It seems like a huge backward step for someone like Braun Strowman as well. I know, like he's been injured and he's been lost a little bit, but he's been world champion and he's been the dominant man. He took Roman to the limit and Brock to the limit and stuff like that.
But then on the other side of the coin, do you want to see Braun Strowman in the world title feud?
Well, no, not really.
Did Braun do? Like, let's be honest, when Braun got released, I don't think anyone really thought, oh no, people are like, yeah, that kind of checks out.
Yeah, he's done it.
He won the belt at WrestleMania. He beat Goldberg at WrestleMania. No one remembers that. He beat Goldberg at COVID Mania. Like, he's been the world champion. Like, he's done everything that someone of his limited ability is going to do.
Yeah.
But his high point was coming out of an ambulance going, against Roman Reigns. Still one of the greatest things I've ever seen on Raw. That was his peak. Like, what does he offer? Again, what does he offer WWE in 2024? What does Eric Rowan, putting aside anything, obviously, with Bray Wyatt and stuff like that, what does Eric Rowan offer that company that people that are already there don't offer?
Well, does he? And this is the problem when you got people like Braun Strowman, they've got very limited shelf lives in that end. as harsh as it may sound, Braun's done, really. He's never winning another world title again. And so,
The Bludgeon Brothers were good because of Luke Harper, not because of Eric Rowan.
Rowan was all right as Daniel Bryan's second Eco Warrior thing, but he didn't do
Alexa Bliss is a fine wrestler, but she could do better in the women's division just as Alexa Bliss than whatever her thing was.
She
with Bray.
Doesn't become a nostalgia act for Bray.
No, exactly.
Bo Dallas is competent, but he's mainstream. He's known as a member of the B team. He was a jabroni on Raw. He just was. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat this.
Bring up the what's that face from NXT? Joe Gacy and his little crew.
That's
you want
to
do something
Bray
like
Wyatt
this?
Else is. Yeah,
do that. Don't.
It's just I fear that the teases and the glitches and the QR stuff that is Bray all over. It is exactly what we got with the White Rabbit stuff. I don't know. I think this is going to be a conversation we'll be having soon about how this has. It'll start really well, and the crowd will pop, and it'll be like a huge thing.
Huge.
And straight away, be like, "Oh, this was a mistake," because it was. The Wyatt family looked amazing when they first came in, and it was like, "Okay, the Wyatts are here. Now what?"
You need someone like the Shield to go against them, and we haven't got a Shield to go against them. We've got Pride.
Oh God. Final Testament against the Wyatt Six. This is what we're getting. Oh, fucking hell. We're getting Matt Hardy versus Karrion Kross.
There's your War Games.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So this AEW thing, what's this all about then? Fucking hell, Jesus.
Then once they're done.
Okay.
And once they're done with them, they then take on Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
Yeah.
God.
It doesn't feel like this is a supernatural era now. Can you do supernatural stuff in front of a live crowd? That was a Thunderdome thing. Mm. Like, that's what it worked better when there's no live crowd. I don't really know what you can do too much with. I'd like to think Paul Levesque has got ideas, and the people that work with Bray have got ideas, but it just this doesn't fill me with hope.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Let's wrap this up. We're back next week to look at probably again SmackDown and Raw. And obviously the continuing on the road to Backlash France or whatever the fuck we're going to be seeing there, because we've seen all the total match on TV at the moment. So who knows what? We'll have Cody's wrestling at least. So they're that. And I'm sure next week we'll get a Cody promo on SmackDown. So look forward to that again. right. Now, a slight change up since Ross has last been here. We're now going to take we're going to make sure Ross doesn't have to remember email addresses anymore. So that's good. So after all this time, Ross finally doesn't have to remember any email addresses at all. Because now we have all of our links on social media and our email address over at linktree.com/ringthebellpod. It's all on there. That's linktree.com/ringthebellpod. And also on there, you'll see we have a new merchandise store with a whole smorgasbord of options and hoodies and shirts in various sizes and colours. And they ship worldwide. And I think they're pretty reasonably priced, all things considered.
So get on there.
Have a look, and there'll be more stuff coming. Creatively, I'm also always thinking of stuff. There's I'm a Ross Bell guy on there. There's Not Afraid of the Grind on there. There's some UK
that grind t-shirts being hoodies being bought on payday.
there's more to come. But give that a look and give that a share and all the usual stuff. And of course, if you want to give us a 5-star rating and review, it'd be much appreciated. You can find us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music Podcasts. Anywhere they do podcasts, you will find Ring the Bell. Before we go, gentlemen, any last words?
No, not really. Yeah. Just don't do the White Six thing, please.
Okay, so from this episode, which I think we are going to call Fuck Kevin Dunn, this has been another jam-packed episode. Thank you, Martin, for coming back. This has been Ring the Bell. I have been Andrew.
I've been Ross.
I've been Martin.
Andrew.
Yes.
Ring that bell.